We're really going to be finishing up today on our teaching on righteousness by faith. And we really were emphasizing righteousness and being righteous. We've been talking about things we can do in our action in righteousness. And one of the things is dealing in the areas of our confession, dealing with what we believe and how we talk. Righteous talk, you know, most people would probably think from a religious standpoint, righteous talks means you don't cuss, swear, you know, say bad things, and that's what it is. I tell you what, and I'm not, you know, trying to be mean to anybody, but there's a lot of Christians that they might as well cuss and swear because what they say is not righteous. It's not, in other words, righteousness is about right. In other words, speaking right about ourselves as Christians, saying the right things about ourselves, speaking the right things. Because dealing in the areas of faith, if we're really going to walk by faith and not by sight, we have to do that concerning ourselves. You know, I've learned this. Your life will never change if you keep talking about yourself, what you see about yourself naturally. That don't change a thing. That doesn't mean we don't, you know, if we miss the mark, we don't admit it and that kind of stuff. But one of the things is people live on a low level, think they're being honest and they're being, you know, right. And what they're doing is they're really making statements about themselves that are not have a scriptural base to them, that it hasn't how God views them or what God says. Most people look at themselves from a flesh standpoint. And as the Lord dealt with me back years ago and said to me about judging myself after the flesh, He said, don't judge yourself after the flesh. He said, I don't judge you that way. And, and He reminded me of what the Lord spoke to Samuel at the time that He was going to anoint David as king when he was a young boy. And spoke to him and said, I don't judge by outward appearance, I judge by the heart. And the Lord dealt with me. Is one of the things that was holding me back was the fact that I was judging myself by what was on the outside and whatever was on the inside. I didn't judge myself by what I was really, the real me on the inside. And that's what Christians don't do. Most of Christianity is an outward thing. It's all about touch, taste, wear, look, whatever, right haircut, different things like that. And all those things, but what changes us is what is lining up with us on the inside, our inward man, which is born again, the part of us that has been, made into a new creation, and letting the new creation express itself on the outside. That's what changes things. Is, you know, faith. Jesus said, "If you say to this mountain, 'Be thou removed,' and 'Be thou cast the sea,' and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you say is going to come to pass, you'll have what you say." And so, in other words, it's about what's inside of you changes what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. So what you want to start to do is to voice what's on the inside of you. In the inside of you, you were created in righteousness, the Bible says. So if I was created in righteousness, then therefore the inner man is righteous. And we got to start talking according to what's on the inside and putting the right things in us, just like you eat food to put the right things in to try to make your body healthy. You want your body to have strength and ability. Well, the inner man is in the same way. Now, we were talking about the areas about dealing with our mind last week, and I want to look at, we'll just quick go over Colossians again. I had read down through Colossians in the first chapter, and we had read there, and I'm just going to reiterate some things there. In the first chapter of Colossians, and starting verse 19, it said, "For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell." That's speaking the Father and speaking of Jesus. And in Christ, all the fullness should dwell. It says, "And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind, by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled." So we were alienated, separated from God because we were enemies in our mind with God. It says, "In the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight." Now you were born again, and this is what God's saying that new birth is. He says to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. See, most of the church world, see, they'll judge everything by the outside and look, oh, well, I did this wrong and that right. But they don't see themselves as God made them holy and blameless. What is it? That's the inside, the inner man. Now, that doesn't mean we don't try to do something about the outer man. He said, holy and blameless in his sight. He said, if you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast. And so if you continue in faith, well, what's faith? Faith is believing in your heart and saying with your mouth. That's what it is. If you continue in faith, you can get that blamelessness and that holiness, and not just something that's on the inside. You can bring that to the outside. And that's what we want to do. We want that brought to the outside. We continue in faith. It says, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which we heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So we were supposed to do that. Also, and I took us over to Romans, the 12th chapter, because of what it said in Romans 12. We'll read that, and then we'll pick up from there at Romans 12. In verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So he's telling me we're supposed to present our bodies to God. It says, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Well, how do you do it? Well, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if the outer man's going to walk in the will of God, how do we do that? We got to have a transformation of our mind. And that word transformation there, that there we talked about before, that the Greek word is where we get our word metamorphosis. There has to be a change. It's just like a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. You know, it's that same principle. The Word of God on the inside and the renew it will help you renew your mind to change it. And, you know, you can turn the caterpillar into a butterfly. You know, that's what it'll do to your mind. You can come to the place where your mind lines up with the will of God. And that is done. We do it by faith, by getting the Word of God and be transformed by the renewing, get our minds renewed. And we need to understand, our mind is not our brain. Our mind works through our brain. And you know, think of, see, this is what people get over and get into. The brain is an organ. It's an organ of the body. And your mind works through your brain. And that's one of the things is dealing with that, is realizing that your spirit, renewing your mind, changing, is a spiritual process. It has to do with your own human spirit. Changing, developing the human spirit, and the Bible talks about the mind of the spirit. See, people think that's the mind of the Holy Ghost. No, it's the mind of your own human spirit. The mind of the spirit, and there's a mind of the flesh. There's a mind that thinks, in other words, people, there's many times Christians never renew their mind and they only think fleshly. You know, and a lot of their rules and regulations, you know, well, you know, don't do this, don't do that, don't touch, don't taste, all those things. Paul talked about people doing this stuff. Is their ideas that's what makes people holy, or that's what makes them, you know, it's just like I came out of the plain groups. Well, you know, women had to wear coverings, and the men had to dress certain ways, and they didn't wear ties. If you put on a tie, that becomes this, you know, a sinful thing. You're too flashy. You're done, blah, blah, you know, whatever else. And those kind of things is what became important. And, you know, while we have the other side, people carry it the other side, and there's Christians that I'm ashamed to see the way they dress. But see, they're two extremes. And they don't have, it isn't spiritual. It has to do with the flesh. It's all carnal stuff. And so this is what we're dealing with. There has to be a transformation in the way we think, and that's putting the Word of God in us. It's one of the things dealing with the transformation is starting to see yourself in the light of what God says about you, what God said. You know, God, He said that God sees you as holy. He sees you as blameless, well, above reproach. Wow, that's really... It's to start to see ourselves in that manner. I've always believed this, that you're going to live to the standards you believe. You know, if a Christian doesn't believe they're holy, they don't believe they're blameless, they're going to live to that standard. They'll live like they ain't holy, or they'll live like they're not blameless. They'll live that way. It's whatever you believe you are. It's like I said, you know, it's one thing I noticed in life as I watched people come out of families that were, you know, were better in the areas of business, financially, and all that stuff. You watch how their kids grow up. Their kids usually grow up doing better in life because they have been taught a way of thinking like that. They don't think of themselves as being poor. They don't think of themselves they can't achieve. They don't think of themselves like that. And that they're really, you know, is breaking those patterns. That's what the Word of God can do. It can take a person and completely revolutionize how they view themselves and being able to achieve, being able to succeed. Now, we want to go over to Ephesians. We're going to go into Ephesians and let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, as we want to look at some more things here, is beginning to speak about ourselves, saying what the Word says about us, starting to get those and meditating on those things to get it inside of us. You want to get it in you because this is what you want to start saying. You want to start speaking about yourself. If you want to overcome an area of life, is one of the biggest things is to begin to line up with what the Word says. As I always use from where in James, and James said, if a man can control his tongue, he can control his whole body. In other words, if I have a flesh problem, then what I need to do is learn to get a hold of my mouth and then my tongue and what I'm saying, what I'm confessing. And get those in line, because understand, confession is also a powerful thing for renewing the mind. It's powerful to do it, saying the right things and talking the right thing. That's one thing, is getting around people who talk wrong all the time. You know, you get around them a lot all the time. You know, did you ever run around somebody, you know, and always talk about problems all the time? And after a while, it gets depressing with them listening to their stuff they talk all the time. And what it does, and if you sit around and listen to that stuff all the time and talk at it, no telling. I mean, I know a Christian couple that I see maybe run into once every 6, 8, 10 months. I run into them. But every time I run into them, it's like, I cringe, because I know they're going to talk junk. I mean, it's all they're going to talk. Now, they've been spirit-filled and all that kind of stuff, but they have 27 different kinds of ailments. They got, you know, and that's all they do is talk. Well, I have this, and I got that, and I got, oh, yeah, you have it. You confess it. This is mine. I take it. I receive it. It's mine. It belongs to me. They claim it. You know, they don't really realize what they've done is they have received. And it's one thing is you're dealing with a problem, but you don't have to claim it and keep it. And that's what they do. They claim it and keep it all. And, you know, they're talking about all their medications and they're doing all this problem and that problem. This is going on in life and that's going on. And you listen to them talking. It's like it's not going to be any different for them because of what they're saying. They lay hold of these things and they're important to them. Now, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the Apostle Paul again wrote, verse 17, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of your mind." Now, the Gentiles walk in futility. They said, well, they want Gentiles were what, and here's he's talking about, when the term here used Gentile, he's not writing to Jews. The Ephesians are Gentiles. They're actually a Gentile. But the word Gentile many times is talking about the heathen. The ones in this instant we know it is because it says they're walking in the futility of their mind. These Gentiles, in other words, these are non-Christians. They're not under a covenant. These Gentiles, what they do, don't walk. He said that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of mind. And the rest of them, now you're Gentiles, but the rest of these ones out here aren't saved. Their walk, in other words, the walk, your walk in life is what you do, how you live, what you're doing out here, how you're living, and living by the flesh. Whether you're living by the spirit or the flesh, they're living by the flesh. He said, now look, they have their understanding is darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. See, non-saved people have a blindness of heart. Their heart is blind because it's not been changed. It's not blind. Their heart is blind because they can't see the truth. They could Satan blinds sinners from the truth of the gospel to be saved. But you can't take a sinner and teach him and bring understanding to him of things about the Bible because of his problem he deals with. He needs a new heart. A new heart's going to change. And that's what we got. When we got born again, we have a new spirit. And our new spirit, we're dealing with, he said, we're not dealing with this ignorance and blindness of heart. Our hearts are not blind anymore. We're born again. But that's their condition. their condition. He said, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness and greediness. So see, we shouldn't be surprised what the heathen does, what the one who doesn't know Christ does. You know, that's the way I lived when I was a sinner. That's the way I lived. It's why I was darkened from the truth. My mind was blinded, and my mind followed the things of the flesh. He said, but you've not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truths in Christ, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, he said, what do? We put off. Now, here's one thing. Now, if you just stopped and stopped there and said, well, put it off. Well, now, I just got to start living right. And what we do is what the church world has done is picked up rules and regulations of how, and now we got to do this and don't do that. You know, it's like I knew a guy, and in fact, I administered with him. This guy's an evangelist. And we administered in a prison and stuff together and things. Really good. He got over and got around a religious group, got himself religious, and after a while, you know, it was a sin to wear a belt. You had to wear suspenders, you know, and those things like that started, you know, crazy things. Well, what happens? People get in the flesh. Well, you know, that to them was getting over. This is being holy and stuff. Now, he's talking about living by the flesh. In other words, living by the flesh, if we follow Paul's writings, Paul's living by the flesh was dealt with sexual sin, being, you know, getting over doing all kinds of, you know, ungodly fleshly stuff and, you know, fighting and blah, blah. You know, he talked about, you know, he said, be angry and sin not. You know, you can get angry, but don't sin at doing it. And dealing with our conduct, our those kinds of things. If you read what Paul talks about, and he lists things about what sin is and the things that we do and the things in the flesh, to stay away from those. And he didn't turn around and say, you know, you can't wear a certain type of sandals and you got to, you know, just that kind of stuff. But people get into that, and that's not what he didn't discuss those. So he said, you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt. The old man, he's not talking to the Christians about they still have the old nature in him. The old man, the outside, the flesh is what he's dealing with. Putting off that way of living. He said, according to the deceitful lust. In other words, the lust of the flesh. And he says, what? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You got to be renewed. See, you're not going to put off the old conduct without getting renewed in the spirit of your mind. You're going to have to change the way you think. We're going to have to change how our thoughts and the things that we do. If we don't change that, how we do stuff. He said, then that you put on the new man, which it was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now just think, the new man, he's created in righteousness and holiness. Now look, on the inside's righteousness and holiness. And this is what he says. We want to get that on the outside. That's what we want to get out there. Well, he said, how you do that? Well, you got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Then you can put on that what's on the inside, on the outside. See, faith, when we talk about faith, and the Bible says whatever we do, we're supposed to do by faith. Well, what do? We start believing what's on the inside, and then we get the right believing on the inside. We speak it to the outside. You know, we start telling our body, you're going to have to come in line. He said, you can talk to this mountain. You can talk to your body. Body, you're just going to have to get under subjection. You know, I learned that in healing. You tell your body, it's going to start obeying you rather than obeying a disease. Or whatever else. No, people, they'll obey the disease. They'll talk like the disease rules. You know, I got a cold. I don't have one of those. My body's not allowed to have it. Body, you ain't going to yield to that thing. Because he'll come along and want to latch hold of you. He'll come and want to get on you and it'll start doing things. And you just say, hold it, body. We're not going that direction. And you speak to that thing. Talk to that disease. You tell it. You know, bacteria and viruses and all this kind. That is all natural stuff, this natural thing. You can speak to them. If I can talk to a mountain, I can talk to those. People say, oh, you talk to that stuff. Well, of course, it's things. You talk to it. You tell it. You tell your body. You speak to it. In other words, start to put, well, how you put it on. Do you ever think about it? You put it on. Well, how do I put on the right thing in the outside? Well, people say you're supposed to put it on. Well, how do you do it? Well, you do it by faith. You begin to speak the right things, speak about the right things. You've been created according to God, right in true righteousness and holiness. Well, see, you start to saying the right things about yourself rather than speaking the wrong things. That's how you get what's on the inside, on the outside, to change it. That's how Jesus said you move the mountain. Jesus spoke to the tree and changed the tree by speaking what was on the inside, spoke to what's on the outside, and the outside changed. And that's how we start to do it. We start doing it through what we say. And because it can't be by willpower. If it's by willpower, whoever has the strongest willpower do good, and who is weak-willed, well, forget it. It ain't going to work. How would you become strong-willed? Well, is it just a natural process? No, it isn't. He's talking about taking what's on the inside of us, and that's God. Taking the power of the Word of God, begin to speak it. It changes things. It can actually change. It can change my will. The power of God can change my will. See, we got to get over there and think it. So I need the power of God to change my will. My flesh. Does your flesh ever have a strong will? It's like it's anything like mine. Sometimes the flesh can have a strong will. How do you supersede that? How do you break that will to put on the will that's inside of you? Well, it's not done. It's not done by physical strength. That's spiritual strength. And it's by the power of God. So we got to learn to do that. We got to put on the new man by thinking of ourselves as being created in righteousness and holiness. So we begin to now to put the new man on by saying the right things, by begin to speak the right stuff about ourselves. Talk about the ascendancy of the man on the inside rather than the flesh on the outside. Start talking about the real man. It's like I remember Brother Hagin, you see here years ago when he said it. He said, on the inside, he said, I'm a giant. I'm a giant on the inside. Well, most people don't see themselves. They see their flesh as the giant on the outside dominating me. He said, I'm a giant on the inside. He said, if you'd see me, what I look like on the inside, he said, I'm a giant. And people don't see themselves like that. You know, did you think God created a little old weakling there? He didn't. But beginning to speak to ourselves and speak and really fortify that the man on the inside and allow him the power that's in us to manifest on the outside. That's what we want to do. So it's not willpower. You just make yourself do that. Some things we're better at getting a hold of. Some things really take time to work at, to get yourself over the strength on the inside to stand and deal with what's on the outside. But the way we set ourselves in motion to do it is renewing the mind and beginning to say the things, the new things that our mind's being renewed in, is begin to speak those things out of your heart. That's what changes stuff. You believe it in your heart, begin to say it with your mouth. And every time we speak the right thing, we're fortifying to ourselves what we believe. We want to do that. You fortify to yourself what you believe. It's a constant thing. That's why it's like I watch people over there say, well, I believe I receive healing, you know, or something. But then they're always talking about what's going on in their bodies. And what they do is they're fortifying the power of the flesh by doing that. They keep fortifying it and they discourage the inner man. Is begin to talking on the outside and saying what is on the outside. In Hebrews, we go back to the last chapter, third chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, on the end of it. Here again, the Apostle Paul wrote and said, listen to what he says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He said, He's the blood of the covenant. He says, make you complete in every good work. Every good work to do His will. He said, now look, He's talking about this Jesus. May this one, the blood of the make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well pleasing in His sight. The Bible says He's working in you. Now listen, He's working in you what is well pleasing in His sight. Well, it don't seem like nothing's going on. I don't know. I just can't get it. He said, the Bible, Paul said, he's working in you. He's working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. He's working in me. God's working on the inside of me. What is it? Is the one, it says, the God of peace who brought up the Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of his everlasting company, make you complete in every good work to do his will. He said, God make, he said, now do you think Paul, this was just sort of a prayer that he's saying. He said, make you complete in every good work. What do you think God's going to do it? Why would he be asking and saying God, you know, to God to do it if God won't do it? Say, God's going to make me complete in every good work to do his will. Hallelujah. What's pleasing in his sight? Hallelujah. God's working in me. This is what God is doing in us. And you know what? We are never going to see any of that manifest on the outside till we start to believe that that's what's actually going on in me and start saying that's what's going on. That's what's happening with me. God's working in me. Man, you ain't seen the finished product on the outside yet. Hallelujah. The Bible says we go from glory to glory. And that's what it is. It's a building process. And as we learn and develop and believe the right things and say the right things, we start maturing into the right things. And we go from glory to glory. Most Christians would say, oh, they're just trying to get any kind of glory. They aren't going from glory to glory. They're just trying to even get glory. Much less go from glory to glory. But if we believe the right things, if we believe this stuff is true, is it true or was Paul just trying to say some nice stuff to end a letter? You know, I believe this stuff's true. And if we believe those things, that he's working in you what pleases him. God's working in you what pleases him. Hallelujah. It's all going on. It's in here. He's working in there. See, he put the Holy Spirit in us. You know, the Holy Spirit's in there. He's not just, you know, it's like Brother Hagin said, Christians think he's just a spiritual hitchhiker. You know, he ain't really doing nothing. Yes, he is. He's in there. That's God in you working. God's in you working. Hallelujah. But we won't overcome till we begin to believe these things and say them. Begin to talk those things. I tell you, it just do wonders. I mean, you get into problems or people facing things. Man, instead of, you know, focusing on the problem, say, you know, God's working in me in this thing. God's working in me. Hallelujah. He's down there doing inside of me what is well-pleasing in his sight. Well, you know, sickness ain't well-pleasing in his sight. Me getting, you know, having all kind of trouble, the devil running my life, that isn't well-pleasing in his sight. Hallelujah. So I know that ain't what he's working down there. Hallelujah. So, you know, it's getting over, beginning to speak these right things. We're going to back up to Philippians. Philippians. After Ephesians. Before Philippians. Let's go the Philippians, the first chapter. Paul writing to the church at Philippi. Philippians, the first chapter. Paul wrote and said in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now this is one of my favorites. And this is, you guys have heard me say this. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now what Paul said, you know, I hope this happens to you. He didn't say that. This is what Paul said. Being confident. I'm confident of this. This is what I'm confident. And I'll tell you what I'm confident of this. Of this very thing. That he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus. In other words, so Jesus comes back. God is working in me. Hallelujah. He's begun a good work and he's going to complete that good work. I learned to confess that when things weren't going, or it didn't seem like I was heading in that direction at all. And I'd say, no, the good work that he started in me, he's going to bring that to completion. That's what's going to come to completion. Not this junk that's going on out there. That's what's going to come to completion. The good work that he started in me, he's going to complete that in me. Why? Till Jesus comes back. So he's going to be doing that till Jesus shows up. Hallelujah for the church. And so, you know, start seeing that about yourself, saying that about this inward man that's created in true righteousness and holiness. That's what we want to get onto the outside, and God is working in us in that to bring it to completion. And Paul said he's confident that he's doing that. Paul's confident that that's what God does. Well, see, I need to believe that concerning myself. You get over in that area where I'm believing and I'm confident of the fact that that's what God's doing me. So God, what God started in you and me, He will complete it till Jesus Christ returns to the church. He's going to complete it. He's not going to, hallelujah. So, you know, I used to be over in the thing of years ago when the Lord spoke to me about not judging myself with the outside, the whole thing of it is, I got over in the things of the areas of fear that I wouldn't complete what God wanted me to do. Because I couldn't see myself doing it. And the reason I couldn't, because I just didn't think I was smart enough, you know, had enough intelligence to do it, and I just make mistakes and this and that. But see, all my thinking was based upon me. It was my ability to do it. I wasn't relying in what was in me to do it. I wasn't relying anything in God working in me to do it. And I learned with this, is you got to get over it. If you want to see, I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to follow God. Hallelujah. That's what I'm going to do. Why? Because a good work, that's what I want to do. That's my desire to do, and I want to do it, and He's going to work in me, hallelujah, to complete that. Glory to God. So get yourself over in that thing. Don't keep judging by, so I heard one minister say one time, he said, you know, we want to measure ourselves with things that the Word, you know, James talked, looking in the perfect law of liberty, and then a guy walks away and forgets. But one thing we need to be very careful about, because we can use the measuring stick of perfection, of outward perfection, and try to measure ourselves and actually turn around, and all we do is discourage ourselves by doing that. We need to measure ourselves. It's like when I got in trouble over the things the Lord had to deal with me on the fact that because I had measuring myself, I wasn't measuring myself correctly. I was measuring myself all on my outward performance. It's like the guy said, you know, if you measure yourself against the perfection of Jesus, he said, you'll probably quit. I ain't arrived there yet. But we need to understand how we measure ourselves. We need to do it properly. I didn't measure myself against what was on the inside of me. I was measuring myself based on what was the outside of me. And that was changing nothing. And what I had to do was start seeing myself. When the Lord spoke to me and told me, He said, you're perfect in my sight. Well, I thought it was the devil because, you know, dear Lord, that seemed good. But see, I was measuring myself by outward. I wasn't perfect. I was measuring that. God's talking to me about my inner man. My inner man is perfect. He said, you're perfect toward me. In other words, my heart. He said, you love me with all your heart. Well, when I stopped and thought about it, I thought, well, he's exactly right. I do. It's the dumb things I do on the outside. That's what I want to change. But he showed me I was never going to change that because my focus was on the outside. It wasn't on the inside. I'm measuring by outside. That's becoming my measuring stick. Instead of measuring myself by the inside and talking what's on the inside, begin to change the outside. And that's what the good work he started. God's working in people. I'm convinced of this. Many times they tell people that they don't have faith, and it isn't a faith problem from the standpoint of believing in their inner man, believes what's true. It's what they're saying and talking and doing so, and what they're doing about measuring with the outside. That's why nothing changes for the individual. It isn't that they don't believe that the Word's true. It's like Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, you're going to have to teach more on the three times more on the saying than on the believing. Why? Because that you cannot release what's in you believing without saying. So if you're talking the wrong thing, it doesn't matter how much you're believing it in your heart, it won't produce anything till you start saying what's in your heart. You know, start speaking the love that you have for God in your heart instead of acting sometimes like you don't. If you want to change that on the outside, we change it by speaking what's on the inside. It's beginning to do that. Hallelujah. And He's working in us to bring it to completion. He's not worried. We have this idea. He's on the outside. Say, well, you scumbag, look what you did. I'm taking notes on how bad you are. And I got a file cabinet in heaven, and it got a drawer that's 47,000 miles long because of all the junk that's in there that you did. Wait till you see your file. Oh my God. That's not God's work. God's work is in you to bring to completion His will, His plan, His purposes. He's not so busy. I mean, God's up there. I mean, He got 400 billion angels just writing notes just on you. Trying to keep track. And then all these other people. when you get to the file, going to the building in heaven's files, the New Jerusalem's tiny. That room is enormous. Oh, hallelujah. Well, let's go look at Philippians. Let's go to Philippians, the second chapter. I'll look at some more things here. Philippians, second chapter, down verse 12 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Now, see, I was like, well, work it out. Oh, man, I'm here to work. Oh, my God, I got to work. He said, now listen, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure." You know, working on the outside? See, God's working on the inside. We won't let that what's on. He's working on the inside get on the outside. That's what you, that's, He's talking about doing. What? Obey, He said, but not much more. He said, in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who's working, works in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. God's working in me. God's working me to do, to will, or to do His will. What? For His good pleasure. That's what He's working in me. God's on the inside of me working. God's inside of you working. Hallelujah. God's in there. God's inside. See, this is, you know, Kenneth Hagin used to talk about becoming God inside minded. Become God inside. What's God doing on the inside? Well, we have been mostly taught and trained to be outside minded, haven't we? Not God inside. We've been outside minded. You know, and that doesn't mean, how would you ever change if you don't deal with things about the outside, is recognize what you need change on the outside. But that's not your focus. Your focus is that you don't change by focusing on the problem, do you? You focus on the answers. What do I need to do to change? You need to become God inside minded. God's in me. God's working in me. God is in there. You know, most, if a lot of Christians just really got a revelation that God's in them. Oh, they'll say that God lives in me, God. Oh, Jesus lives in me. They don't have a revelation on that. That's just words they say from the book, but it's not a revelation. Because you let them then just go on and talk from there, and they'll talk about how nobody can live right, do right. But does this thing, does the scriptures we're looking at, do they seem to give you that idea, that impression? They sure don't to me. They don't give me the impression there's any kind of norm. So we got to be confessing that God is in us, working out His will in our lives. God's in there working out His will for my life. So if I want to change, I ought to start looking what He's working concerning my will, begin to believe that, begin to say that that's true. God's in me working out. God's working out His will in my life. Hallelujah. I'm just so glad He's doing that. Because if He's not, Ed's in trouble. Ed's on his own, just trying to live right. That's a shame, but most of Christianity does that. They are just trying to do their own will through their own power to work it out instead of allowing God. Hallelujah. So we need to talk about what God is doing inside of us. I mean, in 1 John, if we go over to 1 John, Little John, the first Little John. Big John's the gospel. This is Little John. In the fourth chapter, I mean, just get a meditation on this. I know you've heard this scripture already. In the fourth chapter, verse 17. Now, first of all, he said, this is what John says. Now, he's writing to Christian. This is a Christian. He says, "Love has been perfected among us in this." Love's been perfected in among us in this. "That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He, this is speaking of Jesus, is, so are we in this world. See, ministers could never sit around and preach, you're just going to sin, and you're just going to... How do we justify this scripture? It said, just as He is, so are we in this world. You know, He's not talking about we, our flesh. Your body is the house that the we lives in. Your body. Your body's the house. The we is just like He is in this world. You, the real you is just like Him. That's quite phenomenal. Wow, would that change? You really get to believe in that? Whew, my God. You know, it's telling us we're like Jesus. We are. Do you know on the inside you are? You're not trying to become like Him. You are. See, this is where we miss it. We're trying to become like Him, and He says, as He is. As He is. Now, the word speaks as He is. This is present tense, isn't it? As He is, so will we be someday. As He is, He's saying this to the believer. As He is. Now, He said, love's perfected in us. Why? Your new creation is created in love, in Christ Jesus. You have perfect love in you. You're not trying to get perfect love. It already exists in you. As He is, so are you in this world. As Christ is, you is. You're not going to try to be. It's not a future event. What the future event is this, is getting what's already is on the outside. Now, we do that in measures because that is comes through the renewing of the mind. Become renewed of what you really are. Become renewed in your mind of what God is really doing in you, what He's working in you. And that's what the church has to come to believe. The change comes when people begin to believe what they really are. You know, I'm not poor and sick. The real me isn't. The real me is rich, healthy, sound. You know, your body might be sick, but you aren't sick. You know, that's like me walking outside here and saying, you know, the house needs painted, so, you know, I'm flaking paint off of me. No, I'm not. The house is. And see, we talk about the house if it's us. No, it's not. My body may be sick. My spirit is not sick, has never been sick. It has never had the flu. My inner man has none of that. It has the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living in it. It makes alive what my mortal body. You know what's in my spirit? Healing. Christians keep trying to get healing. I'm not trying to get healing. I have healing. That's what's in me. That's what I got. Well, I'm born again and I guess I don't have the Holy Spirit because I'm sick. No, I'm not sick. And the Holy Ghost is in my spirit, making my body alive. It's in my spirit. I have healing. See, that there's one thing is learning about divine health. If Christians are always going to have trouble because most Christians think you get sick and then you get healed. They're trying to get healed. That isn't the way it operates. My inner man is not sick. My inner man is created in the glory. It's true righteousness and holiness. That's what's working inside of me. That's what God's in here carrying out His will. You know what His will is? Me to be healed. So His will to be healed is inside my spirit. So is He saying, well, Ed, you're going to get sick in your spirit anyhow, you know? I don't have the flu. Ed don't. My body may have the symptoms of flu because a flu virus comes along. But that's not Ed. Because of what's in me, I can drive that out of my body. I hope you're getting a revelation. See, that's why it's what we speak and say is either going to fortify what's in my body or it's going to throw out what's in my body that's trying to cause something. The change will come by believing what's on the inside. As He is. Now, I want you to think, is Jesus up in heaven right now coughing? Oh, man. Oh, it's terrible. I just... See, what's he doing up there? Is he sneezing a lot, or he's running a fever? He's running a fever. No, and he's going to be going to the hospital for a cancer operation shortly. And see, is we need to understand, we live in a death-doomed body, but we don't have to let the death doom dominate while we're here. We don't have to let our body just become some emaciated thing. We don't have to do that while we're here. One day, this body, we understand it's growing older and things are happening, but you don't have to be sickly. Most people believe you have to get sick so you can die. You don't have to be sick to die. You don't have to be sick. And this is the idea, see, we have today. Oh, well, as you get older, your immune system don't work good. Gee, my dad was in his 80s before the first time he ever was in a hospital. Gee, I thought he was surely in his 60s. He'd have been sick a whole bunch, and he would have been. Well, why? I mean, if this is the way it works, I mean, then it should work if everybody would do that way, but it doesn't. And so we have to get around getting ourselves thinking right as He is. Jesus is righteous. Is he? Is he righteous? Well, so is you. So is you. So the righteous are not judged with the wicked, the Bible tells us. They're not judged with the wicked. We aren't. So we're just like Jesus. Hallelujah. As He is, so are we in this world. We're the righteousness of God. The last scripture we're going to use, we're going to go back to the book of Colossians. We'll go back to Colossians again. Colossians, the second chapter. Mm-hmm. Okay, verse 9, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So, in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, or in body form, that's what it says. And you are complete in Him. Oh, but my Bible must be wrong. One day we're going to be complete in Him. One day. One day when Jesus comes back. One day. No, it says, and you are complete in Him. Now, could it be talking about the outward body? Because we know this, our outward body is not in a complete state, is it? Because we're going to have to get a new glorified body, right? But it says you, so what you is it talking to? It's you, the inner man. You, the inner man, are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. That principality and power means rule and authority. You're complete in the one who has all rule and authority. You're complete in Him, that guy. The guy who has all rule and all authority, and who's that? Jesus Christ. It says you are complete in Him. You're complete. As He is, so are we. See, getting over. You're complete in Him. You're complete. If we went on to read those things, it says, "In you being dead in your trespasses and your uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven all your trespassing, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against you, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Hallelujah. All that junk is done. What was against you has been removed. Hallelujah. You're complete in Him now. What held you in bondage is no longer holding you in bondage. See, on the inside, begin to look at your inside. Your inner man is wholeness, soundness, complete. I mean, there's no death working in you, because there's no death in Him. There's no death. That's why is this outer body can be changed by the inner inside out, because of the power that's the life working on the inside. You got life in you. You're not trying to get God to send you healing from heaven. You're not trying to do that. The church sort of teaches it like that. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get God up there to wherever He's at. I don't know how far that place is away or wherever it is. We're trying to get Him to put some health in an envelope and send it by a messenger, by an angel, down here somewhere, bring it over, and then hand it to me, and then I get to whatever's in it, get it out, and then I'll have it. That's not the way it is. It's inside. It's what we have. It's what you're created in. What we're doing is agreeing with what the Bible says we are. See, number one, if you didn't have healing in you, how could you lay hands on the sick and they'd recover? You'd have to get God to give you some to give to them, wouldn't you? He didn't say to do it. He said in my name. Jesus said in my name alone, you'll go lay hands on the sick and overcome. Why? It's because of what you have. It's what's already in you. As he is, so are you in this world. Well, if I'm like he is, does he have healing? Last time I checked, he did. It's in us. Healing's in you. That's why we can give it to somebody. Now, people will join in with us and let us do it. I mean, I've done many times to people. I've ministered to people already said, well, you know, my father-in-law years ago told me concerning, I prayed for him in healing, and he said, I don't really believe that, but he said, you do, and he said, I want you to pray for me for it, because he really didn't have the faith. What he's saying is, I don't have the faith to this thing, but you do. He just cooperated with me, and he ended up, they turned around, and he was being in the hospital for an operation. And the Lord told me to go in and anoint him with oil and pray over him, and I went in to see him, and he talked to him about it, because I wasn't going to pray for him if he didn't want me to. You don't just do it. But I told him the Lord spoke to me in. So he told me to do it. And he had a cancerous tumor the size of a football. And they thought it was attached to his liver and to his one kidney. And when they turned around and did the operation, the doctor said it was a complete miracle. He said, because the type of cancerous tumor he had, it will grow in and attach to anything it touches. It just grows into it. And he said, we peeled it off the liver. He said it didn't. He said it wasn't attached at all. Peeled off. He said, we've never had anything. He said, of what I know, he said, and we have looked at, past performance of this one. He said there is nowhere in record that this is ever peeled off the liver. He said it always grows into it. He said, and the doctor said it's a miracle. He told him. He said, you ain't alive because of me. He said, somebody up there likes you. Well, somebody up there liked him too. But the doctor said it's an absolute miracle. He said, because it didn't grow into him. He said, peeled right off. Hallelujah. Well, it's something that's working in us. And so we need to know about the power of God in us. Get ourselves over into believing. Concerning, we talked all this about these things of righteousness and we being righteous. Beginning to confess concerning these things, you know, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what I am on the inside. That's the way we were created. We were made. Just like from a natural standpoint, the family you come from, you have their name, and there's things about their DNA and things that we have, or, you know, you find people that act, you know, ways like their family. You can tell them a certain family they come from. It's because of what they come out of. The church has more identified with what's outward than what's inward. You can't identify yourself with Christ outwardly. You can identify with your Christ inwardly. That's how you identify yourself. It's what you are on the inside. Now, you're going to have all kind of people around you that aren't going to understand that kind of stuff, because when you talk those things, they think you're crazy. But they think you're weird. But you're talking about what's inside of you, what you are on the inside. And that's the real you. If you and I left this earth right now today, we're what we are on the inside. They took his body and stuck it in a hole. When they stick the body in a hole, what's on the inside went to heaven, not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. You know what? There ain't nothing in heaven that ain't righteous. If you ain't righteous, you ain't going to heaven. It's that simple. You ain't going there. Only the righteous go there. Those are the ones that are born of God. Those are the ones that go to heaven, the ones as he is, so are they in this world. That's the ones that go to heaven. And you and I are going there. We're going to heaven because that's what we really are. And so keep yourself over in that area, thinking the right things about this, talking the right stuff, saying the right things. And I'll tell you, you'll see the right things begin to manifest on the outside of you. Hallelujah. And I know this works. I know people would consider live, you know, because people say, well, you know, this guy over here, he's a good Christian. Oh, he, you know, and they're looking at the outside. basically a good person lives right. Well, how come they died? They look at, but see, if that man can on the outside can look like he's doing really good, but he's not living by what's on the inside. What's on the inside, he lives by part, but he believes, well, you know, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. He don't believe that, you know, the power of God's already healed him. He might be trying to get healed. He's going to a doctor, trying to get well. It doesn't matter if a person goes to a doctor. A person can't believe for divine healing. Go, but believe as best as you can. Believe God wants you well. Don't believe God wants you sick for a reason. it's just working against you. It's all working against saying those things and talking those things. Talking death. Go talk life. Hallelujah. And saying the right stuff. Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you today as we have had the opportunity as going through, Lord God, in the teaching of a righteousness by faith. And Father, we covered a lot of ground, a lot of things in here that really touch into righteousness. But Father, I want to thank you that these things, Lord God, our heart rejoices to hear these things. Because Lord God, they're the truth. Because they're your word. And Lord God, what you've created and made us. And Lord God, we sure do want to change in the outer man. We want to walk more by what's on the inside. But I want to thank you and instructing us in how and what to do so we can walk in the glory that you prepared for us. So we thank you, Father God, that you are working in us, completing and carrying out your good pleasure and your good will. And I thank you, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. And I thank you, Father, we're the church of Jesus Christ, the glorious church, the one, Lord God, that you created in the image and likeness of Jesus. And you've seated us in heavenly places upon that throne, Lord God, that place of rule and authority. And Father God, that we walk down in here in the victory that you have given to us. And Lord God, our flesh will not dominate us. Our flesh will not rule us. But Lord God, the greatness on the inside, the greater one, hallelujah, is working in us. And what's on the inside is working mightily on the outside. And the good work that you started in us, you will bring to completion in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.